Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. I hope you're where you can just take 30 minutes out of your busy day and your busy life to spend in the Word of God, because if you will take that time, you will invest in seed that can bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold in your life. And particularly, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior and you would like to understand more what the claims of the gospel are, please stay tuned to this broadcast today. And as we open the Word of God and we talk about faith, the two imperatives to receiving faith. And so we just hope you'll stay tuned with us, because God really wants to answer your prayer, to meet your need. And if you are not saved, above all, amen, is to save your soul. So we're just glad to have you today. Amen. This is a challenging new year, and we are looking forward to teaching from the Word of God those principles that will help us, that will challenge us, but also that will change us. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word of God is designed to bring change in our lives. The Scripture actually says that as we behold as in a glass His face, we are changed into His image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. And that simply means is as we see reflected in the Word of God the true character and person of God, we are changed. That Greek word is metamorpho. It's the word we get metamorphosis from, where an old ugly caterpillar is changed into a beautiful butterfly. And a butterfly is one of the symbols of the new birth in the Christian faith, because we have been changed. We used to sing that old camp meeting song, "I've been changed, I've been newborn now, my whole life has been rearranged." What a difference it made when the Lord came to stay. Praise God, I've been changed. Hallelujah. Well, not only do we have changes in our life, but changes in our destiny. And that's what is so vital and so very, very important today. So please stay tuned to this broadcast right here on WMAF. If you would help us to get this broadcast to other people by dropping them an email, if they live anywhere on this planet, and I hope they do, amen, then you, if they have a computer and they are connected to the World Wide Web, you can be a media missionary by dropping them an email or a postcard and telling them about this broadcast and introducing them to this station that you are listening to, WMAF. And as the listening audience of this station grows, so the listening audience potential for this broadcast and other ministries here grow as well. So we're just happy to be broadcasting on WMAF. We're glad that they stream by computer. In other words, you go to their website, WMAF Home, just type it into your search engine and take you to their website, their homepage, and up in the right hand corner as you look at your computer screen, you can click and that station will start streaming live 24/7. And it's a good station, family friendly, very, very entertaining, because it's classic stuff. It's stuff you can't get on any of the just top 40 pop channels as you go across the dial. Many of them just are rubber stamp of each other, but this is different, and that's why this little station is so great. So we recommend this station, and we pray that you will find it in your heart to recommend this broadcast on it. Let's talk about Jesus. We have no ulterior motive, no hidden agenda here. We're very, very clear and plain. We just want to tell you what the Bible says about Jesus, about faith, about life, about eternity, and about how to have God's help in your life. Today we're going to talk about this Almighty God who honors His covenant to 1,000 generations. And we're going to talk about two imperatives to receiving faith or the kind of faith that receives from God. And by this I do not mean how to get faith, but rather how to exercise our faith to receive God's provisions. And the best place I know to start is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 6. Did you know Hebrews 11 is called the faith chapter in the Bible? Because it deals, this whole chapter deals with faith. Just like 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter, because that chapter is really focusing in on love. But today we're in the faith chapter. Let me read this to you. And you and Madison, thank you. Thank you so much for returning to allow us to be part of your devotional life. And you that already listened by computer, thank you for coming back again. We appreciate your allowing us. We're honored to be part of your devotional life. Be faithful to your church, your pastor, your ministries this coming year. And I am so certain, according to the Word of God, that God will be faithful to you. Listen to this very carefully. Hebrews 11, 1 through 5. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. You know, science has a real problem with that, that the things that we see were not made by anything that appears. A God who is more real than anything we see, but is also invisible unless He manifests Himself. He is the Creator, praise God. So verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now listen to verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. This is the two imperatives. Listen for them. Number one, that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. I want to make a statement as we zero in on verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to say that this is not just a definition of faith, but it's a declaration of its powers and its actions. Not so much what it is, even though it begins with now faith is, but what it does. And this is where you plant your feet, is they must believe, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. This word it just simply means he exists. To believe that he is to believe that the I Am of the Old Testament is the I Am of the New Testament, and that the covenant-keeping God of Moses' day is the same covenant-keeping God of our day, and that God who declared himself to Moses as the great I Am is the same God that we trust in the 21st century, and that he will keep his covenant, his promises with our generation as faithfully and powerfully as he did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, and the rest of the patriarchs and prophets and people of the old covenant. He will do the same for the New Testament saints. He is the first imperative of receiving faith, and the second is he is a rewarder. He's a responder of those who acknowledge he is and make him their source and make Jesus your Savior. Praise God. So that this enmity between us and our God is broken down. You know, in the old covenant, God said, my hand's not short that it can't save, and my ear is not heavy that it can't hear, but your sin has separated between you and your God. Well, in the under the old covenant, there was a way to repent. There was a way to be reconciled unto God. But there is a new and better covenant, a new and better way for that to happen in the New Testament. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you know today, friend, that every sin that you've ever committed can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus? Not because you deserve it or I deserve it. Not because some things can be undone, which many things cannot. But because God judged our sin in His Son so He could save us. Now, friend, that's love. That's love. God exists. Even though you may not feel or sense or see Him in your life, yet God is. And He is a rewarder, a responder to them that trust in Him. Praise God and put their faith in Him. He is, and He's a rewarder. He's the great He is of Hebrews chapter 11. And He's the great I am of Exodus 3. He is, and Jameson Fawcett Brown comments, the true self-existent Jehovah as contrasted with all so-called gods which are no gods. Listen, the great He is of Hebrews 11 is the great I am of Exodus 3. If you'd like, turn there with me to Exodus 3 verse 11 through 14. Listen to this carefully. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? And that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt." This is Moses calling here, and his initial response to God calling him to lead Israel out of bondage. Listen to verse 12. And he said, "Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." And Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me unto you,' and they say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say unto them?" Listen to verse 14 carefully. And God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." And he said, "Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, 'I am hath sent me unto you.'" Now the name of God was significant to the ancient Hebrews because it comprehended in itself all that God is. The name of God is holy and awesome and signifies His personal presence. "I am" denotes what God is in Himself. And "I am" also denotes what God is in His people. Did you know what the Bible said in the book of Psalms? It said that God is our refuge and our strength. Psalm 46 and verse 1, a very present help in the time of trouble. Praise God, a very present help in the time of trouble. God is self-existent. He has His being of Himself and has no dependence upon any other. Being self-existent, He cannot but be self-sufficient and therefore all-sufficient. You know, one of the names of God is El Shaddai, which means the all-sufficient one, the many-breasted one, if you please, if you want to get technical, the God who is more than enough. I often tell people that seem to think that God is stingy with His blessings and He stays aloof in His heaven from our lives. His name is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. Praise God. He's lavish in His love. He is able to manifest Himself, to make Himself real in your heart and your life. And He's able to move. He's not like the gods who are no gods. The Scripture speaks of the idols with eyes that can't see and hands that can't touch and ears that can't hear. But the Scripture said of our God, His eyes are upon the righteous and His ears are open to their cry. I pray that 2009 will be a year of prayerfulness in faith like no other year of our life. Our needs are great and our God is greater. Praise God. Hallelujah. What God is in Himself is self-sufficient. What He is in His people is all sufficient. I want to say that again. What God is in Himself is self-sufficient. And what He is in His people is all sufficient. He is. And He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. This is where we plant our feet. This is where we take our stand in faith. They that come to God must believe. Yes, praise God. Amen, that He is. And when we do, we can also believe that this God who is all self-sufficient, it will be all sufficient in our life. If we will pray in faith, if we will stand in faith, in the Jesus of the new covenant dwelt all the fullness of Jehovah, the I Am of the old covenant. Listen to John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 56 through 58. Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and thou hast seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you," that means surely, surely, "I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Not I was, but I am. He is, I am. All the people who are not Pharisees believe that. His name is not the great I can be. He's not the great I used to be. He's not the great I'm able to be. He's not the great I could be. He's not the great I am if I take a notion. He is not the great I will be someday. He is the great I am. He, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never lost any of His power or position. He is the second person of the Godhead. Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. The people need to be taught that Jesus died on the cross for more than our preaching pretty sermons and singing beautiful songs of a Christ of the good old days. He died on the cross for people's deliverance. He's mindful of us. He cares more for you than a mother does for her baby. Scripture said back in the book of Isaiah, "Can a mother forsake her suckling child? Yea, she may, but I will never forsake you, O house of Israel." He's ready to help you. He's ready to save you. He's ready to deliver you. He is a self-sufficient God who is all-sufficient when we call upon Him. Everyone who has to prove, needs to prove, literally, to his generation that God is wonderful in our day. Moses had to prove to the people that God was not only a great God in Adam's day, but He was alive in his day also. Elijah proved to the false prophets that God was wonderful and powerful in his day. Elisha showed the people that God did not die when Elijah was translated. Elisha proved that, rather. Jesus was continually proving to the Pharisees that God was still alive in his day. Peter and John were faced with the same job. The religious people were willing to believe that Jesus could perform miracles back in A.D. 30, but they wanted to stop Peter and John if they preached that He was still merciful and powerful. They proved that His mercy and His power and His presence endureth to all generations. Listen, friend, we serve a mighty God. We serve a merciful God. We have a God who saves today, a God who delivers and sets free, a God who heals, and a God who literally manifests Himself today as the great I am, not the great I was. You know, I have often told people of how God has moved in my personal life. You know, every testimony is subjective. Everybody has an opinion. Everybody says what they feel is their personal experience. We have the Word of God as the final and absolute authority. But let me say this to you today. When someone said they prayed and got an answer, when someone said they sought God and received a miracle, the Word of God substantiates that. We are not extra biblical when we talk about God answering prayer, God intervening. Let me define miracle in its simplest sense, just one of the very brief dictionaries explanations of miracle is a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. That's what a miracle is. If there's a preacher out there praying for God to bless them, to help them build that new building or that new addition to their building, God is going to have to work a miracle to do that. The days of miracles cannot be over if we're going to ask God in prayer for anything, and He's going to be able to do anything. It's going to require a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. God is not the great I was. Amen. He is the great I am. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I have experienced a healing from this great God. When I was 8 going on 9, I was diagnosed with cancer of the blood, leukemia. And my mom and dad were devastated. Dad had a job that he had no insurance program, so we were at the mercy of the county, Hillsborough County. And the doctor said, no need to hospitalize him yet, though I was very, very ill. But when it gets in the last stages, in other words, when I'm dying on an emergency basis, I could be committed to the county hospital. I pastored in the inner city of Tampa. We're near the Tampa Fairgrounds now, beginning again, but I pastored for over 25 years in the inner city of Tampa. And in my route to go and preach every Sunday morning throughout those years, and by the way, God healed me so wonderfully, amen, that I never missed a service in over 25 years there. Haven't missed one yet. We're going on 35 years now. Praise God. Amen. If I'm on vacation, I have a rest night off. That's one thing. I never had to call it. God just healed me completely. He took away that weakness, that sickness, and He did it miraculously because He is the great I am, and He is and is a rewarder of them who diligently seek me. My dad took me to church in Tampa. He took me consistently, and one night an evangelist was preaching. By the way, I passed that county hospital where I would have been committed for the last of my life, and I would have never seen my children's children. I'm a great grandpa. A little more than 2 years now, I've been a great grandpa. And I'm telling you what a work God has done. But the greater work was not the healing. Don't you get me wrong. That's not my cause for the greatest rejoicing. It's because He saved my soul and called me to the ministry. Praise God. And allowed me to do this all of these years because He is. And because He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do not say or believe anyone who says the days of miracles are over. The days of miracles are over. God is dead. And the days of miracle is over. We should never pray again for anything or for anyone. There is no help outside of ourselves. And what a miserable, miserable state that we would be in. Amen. If we have hope of Christ, Paul said, in this life only, we're of all men most miserable. That means there is no help or hope beyond this life or beyond ourselves. No, friend, we serve a God who is. He exists, and He can do the impossible. The scripture said there's nothing impossible with God, but it doesn't stop there in the New Testament, because it goes on to say, and there is nothing impossible to him that believeth. Believeth what? Believeth that He is. And that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Before we believe Him specifically for our need or for His will to be done, we believe that He exists and that He responds in love and grace to those that call upon His great name. Praise God. I remember when they took me down for prayer and I was prayed for. And I remember the next day, the energy that I had. And I remember so well when God turned my life around by supernaturally intervening in the normal course of human affairs. We had no money for sophisticated treatments, but my dad had faith that this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob existed. My dad knew him by receiving Christ as his Savior. God became his Father, and my father brought his Son to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, God did a work in me. I am so grateful. I proclaim it. I live every day as a living, breathing testimony and testament to the fact that God exists. Hallelujah. And by the way, that's not the only thing that God has done in my life. He continues to answer prayer, to supernaturally intervene. Where I plant my feet upon the Word, I plant my feet upon the promises. But first, I plant my feet upon the person. Amen. And that's God Himself. God exists. The heavens declare, and the firmament declares the existence of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, we serve a mighty God. We serve a merciful God. We have a God who saves today. A God who delivers and sets free today. A God who heals today. He's the great I Am. In John 6:35, Jesus used those very words, I am the bread of life. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 10:7, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd. Hallelujah. John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 15:1, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha, Jesus speaking, and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. The I Am of the Old Covenant is the He Is of the New Covenant. We worship and serve the same God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, that delivered Daniel from the lion's den, that parted the Red Sea, that was Israel in that was with Israel in every battle, who gave them great victory. The God of power and might, the God of mercy and grace. His power and love is not diminished. His presence is here with us now in the 21st century. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, friend, I'm going to make a challenge to you today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know that the great I Am of the Old Covenant is still the great I Am in the New Covenant. Jesus said, before Moses was, I am. And they that come to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. And I want you to come to God today. And I want you to know that if you repent of your sins right where you are right now and invite Jesus into your heart as your personal Savior, He will reward you with forgiveness, grace, and mercy. He will begin the mighty change in your heart and in your life. He'll give you the oil of joy for mourning, because He will give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He can break through the darkest depression and bring joy to the human soul and heart. He's still a God of deliverance today. He can bring you out of prison, out of a prison house of doubt and fear. Oh, there is no limit to what this great I Am can do for you and for me. Amen. If you're a Christian today and you're stumbling and bumbling in your prayer life, I want you to come back and take your stand in this great truth. He is, and He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Seek Him again. Seek Him with all of your heart. Don't put a time limit on God. Just seek Him till He comes. Hallelujah. mentally manifest and you see His glory in your life. Well, we love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus?